Tell me some of the things that you've learned on your journey in terms of where you were to where you are now, and things that might be able to help other people as they consider either starting or launching a product or launching a mastermind or building a business. What are some of the things that you would hand off to people?
I think self-awareness, and that's something I really lacked, growing up. And I think self-awareness is really important. In fact, part of my Guardians of Grit platform, I work with Dr. Andy Garrett, who's a clinical psychologist. I'm using a lot of his curriculum, to help dads build their own sense of, their own sense of self-awareness. And that really is dialing into these words, authenticity, identity, which have largely been misunderstood and hijacked.
Welcome, Third Rock listeners, to the Branding Laboratory. I'm your host, Devo, Chief Experience Officer for the Brand Storyteller and the Fusion Creative Brands. And each week, I have the privilege of speaking with extraordinary leaders and entrepreneurs who are reshaping the way industries work. These conversations go way beyond the surface to explore the core philosophies, the lessons, and the challenges that define the brands that we admire today. And one of the greatest rewards of this podcast is the opportunity to share the insights of some of the brightest minds in business, people who are passionate about pushing boundaries and redefining what's possible. And as I always say, the stories we tell are the brands we build. And this show is a testament to the power of that concept. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Branding Laboratory, where we are going to strip away the fluff. Who wrote that? Well said. And dive into the real raw conversations with entrepreneurs and CEOs and leaders and really cool people. And this is not one of those typical business podcasts. Okay. I'm not trying to do that. It's a no BS exploration of what makes brands tick, the real challenges that leaders face, real conversations, and the stories that have helped shape their success and even some of their lessons or failures. I'm your host, Devo. I am the Chief Experience Officer for the Brand Storyteller. I am a master photographer, brand strategist, and serial entrepreneur. And my mission is to help leaders and small business owners cut through the nonsense, cut through the noise, and tell their authentic stories, build their brand, and truly connect and resonate with their audience. And that's what I do. So today we are cutting through the usual corporate jargon with a guest who is turning up the heat literally and figuratively. Get ready for some straight talk on leveraging branding to make a real impact in the world of facilities management and HVAC. Our guest today is David Ask. At first, I thought it was just sort of a, by the way, I thought that was, they have you listed as David Ask. Is there something else that I'm missing on that?
Well, it's actually pronounced Ask. I'm kind of glad you brought that up. I grew up in Minnesota with a bunch of, Scandinavians. There's actually a town in Norway named Ask. So my heritage is Norwegian.
All right. Well, I can't promise I won't make that mistake again, but maybe we'll just try to do it the right way this time. So our guest today is David Ask. Sorry about that, man. I'm glad I cleared it up front. He's the president and owner of Quorum. Am I saying that right? Quorum?
Yep.
Global. It's a company that helps businesses like us and homeowners like me save big on their heating and cooling expenses with this innovative $20 item called the StatGuard Plus. He's here to share his journey of dialing in on his brand message and solving a critical problem for his customers. That sounds like some jargon somebody just threw in there for me. I'm here to have a conversation with you about this little gadget you got going on. And if we talk about some real branding troubles, ask away. So if there's anything you want to know, and hopefully I can solve something for you in the branding laboratory. But either way, let's just talk about you and all the things you're doing. So do you have this little thing you're bringing
I
on?
I do. So, it's actually, this is our latest. So this is called the Lockbox Pro by StatGuard Plus. So the original unit, the StatGuard Plus that's in Home Depot and Lowe's and True Value and so on, that is a thermostat guard that is just with a combination lock. So I was in facilities management with a large telecom chain for, 17 years. And of course, in all of our stores and call centers and so on, we had to use thermostat guards because, we all know the thermostat wars, right? Nobody can keep their hands off the thermostat. And that goes for homeowners too, right?
I have two teenagers that I literally struggle with on a daily basis with this. So keep going.
So what's interesting that the new version here basically is just the same thing, but it has a key as well. So what's kind of fascinating in this is more for like a pro like a contractor or, you know, something like that. Because if they go into a retail store every quarter to do filter changes and things like
Oh,
that,
sure.
they might not know what the code is. So a contractor actually prefers having a key. So the Lockbox Pro is more geared toward contractors and so on, where, you know, the StatGuard Plus was really just, it was the world's first thermostat guard with a combination lock. So you really don't have to worry about losing the tiny key. If that's, you know, so say you have a restaurant or, you know, a small shop or even your home, right? You can just throw a StatGuard on there. You got three little digits to remember, and it's, you know, pretty simple.
So I have to ask, you know, and again, I don't know much about this, so forgive my impudence and my ignorance, but our system here has the automatic thermostat that you sort of you can set temperatures and core temperatures, and it's supposed to sort of bounce up and down based upon that. That doesn't change for anything for my daughters. They change it regardless every night. So it isn't an ideal system designed not to have a lock on it, and the purpose of this lock is to keep people from fidgeting with it. Is that sort of where we're going here?
Well, you know, yeah, so there are, of course, programmable thermostats. In fact, there's thermostats now that you can digitally lock out. But what we're finding is people know how to hack those, of course. And I get calls like this all the time. Somebody will call and just ask a specific question about the size or something. And I'll always ask him, why are you buying this? And I can't tell you how many times that, you know, somebody in a convenience store or something like that is buying it because people are literally stealing the thermostat. And, you know, they're expensive, right? Some of these thermostats are 200 to 300 bucks. And so for, you know, $20, you can guard it and, of course, just keep people from jacking around with it.
Wait, go back. Who is going into a convenience store and ripping on the thermostat off the
Well, that's
wall and
probably.
nobody's aware of this?
Well, it's probably just some crackhead, you know, thinking he's going to go, you know, hawk it somewhere. But it's, or some, you know, ding dong, you know, eighth grader that thinks he's really cool and just, you know, rips it off the wall. Interestingly enough, I saw this when I was working at, you know, the cell phone store. Like I was the guy that had to pull security footage for, you know, stores in five states. And just because people are jerks sometimes, they would just be bored. And they'd literally walk up to the wall, rip it off the wall, and stick it in their pocket. And they would literally stay in the store and go buy a phone or buy something. But people are crazy. I mean, it's kind of funny how some people operate.
I don't disagree about the crazy part, but I've just literally never seen or heard of anything of this nature. I didn't realize this was a thing. So this is your device. You're the inventor. You're the proprietor. This is something you created.
Well, so technically, when we I say we, my brother-in-law called me one day and he said, hey, where do I get a StatGuard with a combo lock? He said, nobody can keep up with this tiny key. And he was actually working for banks that owned foreclosed properties down in South Florida at the time. And they would, you know, get the property fixed up, ready to sell. And the realtors would come in and want to, you know, show the house. Well, of course, you're in Miami and the realtor wants it 65 degrees in the house in July to make their clients really happy and so on. But of course, the banks are getting these really huge power bills. So they put thermostat guards on, but then they would lose the key. So Eric called me one day and then he and I developed it together. I ended up buying him out and then, you know, ended up, you know, getting some traction with this as far as retail and so on. But yeah, it was a, I don't know, I guess just over 10 years ago is when, you know, it kind of came into being.
So the product itself, the StatGuard, it already was in existence. You've created a modification to it to lock it out
Yep, we were the
with a key.
first ones in the world to have a thermostat guard with a combo lock.
The thing about this is, what I love is every entrepreneur has these moments when they realize a problem exists, and you've come at it from solving it from a different perspective. Tell me about, I mean, you talked about you said it was your brother. Is that what you said earlier?
Brother-in-law, yeah.
Brother-in-law. So when you and your brother-in-law were having this conversation and you sort of came up with this epiphany on how to fix it, just talk me through that a little bit. I love those moments.
Well, right. So when he mentioned it, I of course it was not on my radar necessarily, except I mean within about 5 seconds, I was like, well, there's a novel idea because at every one of my stores, you know, every other month they would lose the key and I'd have to send some maintenance guy to Knoxville or wherever to rip this thing off the wall, fix the wall, paint the wall, put another one up. And it just got to be a really expensive, you know, affair. So in the back of my mind, of course, instantly I thought, well, that's a novel idea. I wonder if anybody made one, right? So he and I both started looking all over the internet and every catalog we could find. And of course, nobody did. So, we kind of jumped in, together and figured it out. We, of course, did everything wrong, right? If you build it, they will come. And we all know that's not true. So we floundered around for a few years until we, well, by definition of an entrepreneur, right? You don't know how to do it, figure it out.
Yeah.
So we, ended up figuring it out.
How many versions of it till you got it right?
Well, the cool thing is, so we had an idea of, size, right? We were like, we don't want to make it too big. We don't want to please everybody here, because if you have, a massive thermostat cover that's going to, cover every thermostat in the world, right? It's just going to look ridiculous. So we thought, okay, we started just doing market research, basically based around what are the, 75% of the stat guards or thermostats out there, and what size do we need to cover those? So we found that size. And then we hired an engineer to do the prototyping with a 3D printer. So that was actually a pretty seamless, process. We gave them some ideas on kind of what we wanted it to look like and so on. But that was actually, you get the right person in the right seat on the bus and things go rather smoothly.
Can we talk about that for a minute? Because present company included, everybody has these really great napkin ideas. But I don't think a lot of people really know how to take them from ideation to inception to creation to market. So you said you found an engineer, you built this thing out. Can you walk me through that? Like, how does one even find an engineer who can build something of this nature?
Well, of course, nowadays, right, you just get online and kind of start searching for your community. And, depending on what you need done, there's people doing, 3D printing and engineering in their, their spare bedroom, right? I mean, it's really fascinating how, what you can get done with the guy next door. So start asking questions. That's what we did, right? It was, out of the gate, we were just, hey, anybody that we knew that was in business or did anything to do with selling a product or whatever it was, we just started, just asking questions. And it's amazing within a long afternoon, how much data you can start putting together. And I think the first person that we used for the prototyping was, somebody that was referred to us. Let me back up too, though. I think out of the gate, of course you need to, find a product that you think people are going to buy. Right. So just because you have an idea that is quote unquote good and it solves a problem, what's the market viability for something? And just because you think it's a good idea and your mom does, it doesn't think that, everybody else is going to. And then, what are the startup costs? Right. So we kind of started looking at things rather holistically, right? Get out a yellow pad and start crunching some numbers and things like that. The easy thing with us, with this product out of the gate was, well, we already knew that every hardware store and every HVAC supply house in the country was selling it, a version of it. And ours was just better. So we didn't necessarily, have to do a ton of market research, right? It's, if a bunch of stores are selling, flashlights, and you come out with a brighter flashlight where the battery lasts longer and maybe has a couple other features, you're onto something. But if it's a completely new product and you've got to bust some new ground and then, and create some demand, that's a whole different animal. We had to, a little bit of an easier road just regards to viability.
The market had already proved itself. We call that customer perception. I literally just did a keynote on this last week. What does the customer perceive of your product? Because it's one thing. I mean, we're stuck in our jar, right? We know exactly what we think we can use it for and the application and how we're going to implement it. But a lot of times that's completely different from what your customer's needs are. And so being able to clearly understand that. So you've already had some market research done for you. So congratulations on that. But then once you took it to market and you sort of, your engineer, you said you 3D printed it. You took that to what's the next step? So how do you go into market for that? You Home Depot, like you said, you were going door to door. How does that process work?
Well, we had to find a manufacturer, of course, first, and then get some, costs on, what's the landed cost based on volume, we think, we could sell it for. Of course, the retail price had kind of been set, right around that $20 mark, right? Some people were selling them for maybe 25 and depending on maybe as high as 30, but that was, some weird anomalies. So of course we had to start looking at the, the data. So, the mold costs just for plastics injection. And of course, and sadly, right, we couldn't find anybody in the United States to make this thing for us, where we could even begin to compete. We'd have to be selling it for $40. So we were forced to go overseas, to do that. And so then that was a whole other, learning curve, right? I didn't know anything about running a business. I didn't know anything about, 3D printing, anything about projection, plastics injection molding, customs coming in and out of the country, tariffs, you name it. Every
Yeah.
single bit of this was new. So it took a long time to put all these pieces together and then, gain the courage to pull the trigger.
Yeah, the entrepreneurial journey is never a straight line, is it? So trying to figure all that stuff
Never.
out, it's really important, and you know this better than anyone, is having a plan for that. How do you build this out and being understanding, like, what are the subtleties and nuances that shape that? The idea of saving customers money is an interesting premise, and I saw that in your I think I read that somewhere in your deck that you sent over. In terms of saving customers money, how does that translate into making money for you, and like how do you balance the line between those two?
Well, of course, this is kind of a simple sales, process or can what it, easy to convince somebody with a $20 product. Meaning, if someone adjusts your temperature in your house, even a couple of degrees over the course of a month, right? You might get an extra $100 added onto your bill or more. You put that into a retail store when somebody sets the temperature on 66 degrees instead of 71. Over the course of a month, and the door swinging all the time, and there's windows and people in and out and lights, you might get a double the power bill. So it's kind of fascinating in that, for such a simple, better mousetrap situation, when somebody gets one power bill that is, $100 or more, right, higher, they're not going to think twice about throwing a stat guard on the wall just because, it's like it's just a no-brainer.
Yeah. Are you selling them independently as well?
No, we go through distributors and retail and the pro. We just are launching this now, but that'll be in supply houses and with contractors and things.
Is business good? Like what you're finding in putting this into market, people are buying it?
Yeah, we're we've grown every single year. I think at least 15%. I'm not going to share exact numbers, of course, on sales, but we went from. What, 5 years ago we were in 1,300 stores. Now we're in 3,700,
Wow.
and I'm hoping by the end of next year we'll be in 4,700, and then some, supply houses and things too. I mean, it's, I'm really grateful, right? It's a simple little product, and yeah, we're hustling hard.
Congratulations with that. Have there been any copycats that have popped up since you've been in market?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
How do you play that?
Well, and we battle them. We've got legal grounds to do that, of course, and we've been able to, knock a few of them out, that kind of thing. But it's amazing how, especially because, people are having these things not only made overseas, but they're literally running their business from overseas. So you don't even have anybody in the United States that you can even call or fight. You got to find, so it's hard. There's no question. And I don't care what we anticipated that, right? If you're gonna build a product, as soon as it starts selling,
Sure.
somebody's going to knock it off. And it's, yeah, you're just going to have to fight. That's all there is to it.
In terms of you and your history, and have you always been in this industry, HVAC and whatnot?
No, it's funny. I moved to Nashville as a vocal major at Belmont, and I still do music on the side.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
at a pretty high level, actually. And I'm kind of the consummate entrepreneur. So I do, I lead a couple of mastermind groups. I do some individual coaching. I'm writing a book for dads called The Guardians of Grit, and I'm creating an online community for that. I like product development, and I've done about 10 concerts this year, and I'm getting ready to do some recording and launch a couple of new songs. And I'm kind of a different breed.
You are a Renaissance man. I was going to ask you about that fantastic soundboard over your right shoulder. Is that for podcasting? Or is that for your music production?
Music.
What genre of music? What is it you do?
So I get compared to Andrea Bocelli or Josh
Huh?
Groban. In fact, I was asked to sing backup for Bocelli when he was here in
Isn't
Nashville.
that opera?
He
That's
does
what I thought.
more. I mean, obviously Bocelli is the consummate, classical tenor, but he dips his toe in kind of the pop music, waters. And I'm kind of the opposite, where I do more pop with a classical twist on it.
We have a lot of parallels, except for the music acumen. I do not have any musical capabilities whatsoever, but I actually run a couple of masterminds as well.
Nice.
I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm in my fourth operation. Just in terms of you and your experience with all the things you're doing, do you have any sort of, I look back all the time, and I love to look back and journal on the things that I've learned in my journeys, whether it's I worked in the corporate world for many years, and then I
Yeah.
migrated into the entrepreneurial world, and then, becoming a parent, then becoming a divorce. And it's like all of these little minutiae that add up to create who we are right now. When
Yeah.
you look back on David Ask's life,
Yeah.
tell me some of the things that you've learned on your journey in terms of where you were to where you are now, and things that might be able to help other people as they consider either starting or launching a product or launching a mastermind or building a business. What are some of the things that you would hand off to people?
I think self-awareness, and that's something I really lacked, growing up. And I think self-awareness is really important. In fact, part of my Guardians of Grit platform, I work with Dr. Andy Garrett, who's a clinical psychologist. I'm using a lot of his curriculum, to help dads build their own sense of, their own sense of self-awareness. And that really is dialing into these words, authenticity, identity, which have largely been misunderstood and hijacked
And overused.
and overused. And also this idea of grit and resilience, and what's the difference, and why is it important to have intrinsic, grit as opposed to extrinsic. And we can go into that if you'd like. But I think self-awareness is really, really key. I think that, you've heard, I think Jim Rohn first said it, right? You become like the top five people you spend the most time with. Well, I'll be honest, I think that's a law. Yeah. Great book. I think that's a law like gravity. And how do we know that's a law like gravity? It's because those of us who are parents, we know instinctively we don't want our kids getting caught up in the wrong crowd. I mean, we'll go to absurd lengths to make sure our kids don't hang out with troublemakers. But guess what? We don't think about that for ourselves. In fact, typically as we get older, for whatever reason, just the opposite happens, meaning imposter syndrome sets in. And we're like, oh man, I can't hang out with him. He's really successful. I can't hang out with him. What we don't realize is the people that have some success in some area typically don't even think they're successful, for one thing. And they had to experience a lot of life, to kind of cross the road and get over there. And most of them are wonderful and generous people that would love to help you. But because of your own pride, right? And we would call
Pride
that.
or insecurity?
Well, I think they're the same thing. And it's this idea of ego, right? It's just ridiculous insecurity, macho bravado bull crap.
People thought they were listening to a branding podcast. They didn't know we were going into Carl Jung right now.
Get ready. I've not even started. But it's funny because it's that sick pride, that causes us to stay stuck. This real superpower in life is vulnerability. The real superpower in life is being able to walk up to somebody and say, "Man, I tell you what, I feel like you've won, so much more in this area, and maybe you don't say it this way, but maybe it's something akin to, I'd love to just sit at your feet for a while and listen, and shut my stupid mouth and listen." And so you become like the top five people you spend the most time with. This idea of self-awareness, but self-awareness is a bit more complicated. So do you mind if I jump into the deeper end of the pool here for a second?
Sure.
So my book, Guardians of Grit, is based upon this premise. Authenticity. Where do we get that word? It comes from the word author, right? I didn't make me. I didn't. And here's something we have to come to grips with. And this is where our lack of pride will serve us well. I didn't choose my eye color, my taste buds, color of my skin. I didn't choose my own personality. And how do we know that is a law like gravity? It's because those of us who have kids or siblings, for that matter, when they're little, they come out of the gate hardwired. I'm talking literally eye color, taste buds, what makes them laugh, giggle. But you can tell their little spirit is so different from their brother and sister immediately. And when they're, 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, it's marvelous. And, 5 and 6, right? But guess what? Kids, like us stupid adults, they're not thinking about being authentic, and getting all sophisticated in their identity and all this stuff, right? They're thinking they're just doing their deal. They're just being themselves. But what happens? You get punched in the face, right? Life happens, and you start questioning every single bit of what God authored in you. You at that point, though, you've not identified anything, right? The word identity means write it down. Somebody asks you the right question, you just start writing down what makes you. And if somebody asks you the right questions, you can do that in a real hurry. But then we go through life listening to all the talking heads and all the bull crap, thinking that identity is something that is generated. I have to do things or accomplish things in order to become someone that the world, applauds. Or at least I can stand in a room and not compare myself to other people or men for that matter and think like somehow I'm less than. And I struggled with that for a long time. And what I'm realizing is that, for instance, me as a father, right? My son's 19, and my favorite quote really sums this up. It's by Benjamin Disraeli. He says, "The greatest good you can do for another is not to share with him your riches, but to reveal to him his own." So, what would it look like for every dad to hold up a mirror to their son or their daughter, right? And say, "Man, do you see what I see?" And start mining for gold, start asking great questions. Well, nobody gets that. Very few get that. So I'm doing that now, and helping people. Literally, I'm asking them the right questions so that they can identify the most powerful, courageous, virtuous, values-driven things in them, and then be a part of a community, right? Some other dudes that can just be like, "Yeah, man, I see that in you." They validate that and call it out.
Is that
And
what the mastermind is about?
yeah, I'm not necessarily calling it a mastermind in the traditional sense, but it's, I think more of just like kind of an alliance. Like you just get together with like-minded people who want to grow as men, and hopefully dads.
Yeah, man, I have something interestingly I'd like to share with you. I'm going to a conference in October, actually in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Nice.
It's more like a retreat than a conference, but it's designed for high achieving entrepreneurs and people who are looking to surround themselves with like-minded individuals of that
Yeah.
ilk. They actually just sent me an email today, wanted to know if I could recommend anybody that also might be interested in this. So I'm going to send you an email. I'll take it offline and send it to you. But I think you might really appreciate it. It's a bit of a steep price tag, but if you're selling a bunch of these things, you probably don't need to worry about that. So I've never been. I know nothing about it. I've been watching it for about 6 or 7 years. And every single time they bring their events up, I've had something else going on that I had already booked. So this year the stars lined up for me. I'll share it with you. You do what you do with it what you will. But
Yeah, I'm curious.
yeah, pretty cool stuff. I'm the same as you. I believe that you are a byproduct of the people you surround yourself with. And if it's 5 or 6 or 3 or 2, I don't know if the number really matters so much. It's just the people that you're surrounding yourself with. You sort of take on their energy and they yours, right? So I really appreciate that piece. So the thing before we close out the rest of the podcast, it sounds like you're getting ready to, if I may, maybe you're not, you're kind of marching into a different direction of inspirational, but you have a book. Are you trying to do keynotes, lectures, things of that nature? Is that the direction you're trying to go?
I'm thankful I've got a great team to kind of help me run, the business side of things, and I've got a bit of margin, which is allowing me to really kind of follow my heart. And I really, really want to help, men establish by answering great questions, what's the greatest good inside of you, right? Your summum bonum, and how can you operate from that space so that you feel like you're flying and you have that, effect on other people, because you can't give away something you don't have. And it's honestly, it's a lot more simple and practical than people think it is.
So what's the greatest good you have inside of you?
I think that I like to tell people, I've never been asked that question, by the way. Thank you for asking that. So I think that the favorite thing for me to do, and I think those who know me well would say, David is probably the best encourager in the world. And
That makes
I'm
you
not,
be a good parent as well.
yeah. And
It's a good
I like
quality
it.
for parenting.
Well, and I like this idea of, not just say, "Hey, dude, nice shirt, man. You look really cool." You know, it's no, I see something in people, and I have the courage to call forth that something that's just, you know, full well that they have been longing for someone to name and to call forth, like their dad, right? The should have. And it's literally giving in, like you're encouraging, you're loaning someone courage, you're borrowing, you know, they're borrowing courage from you. And I think that that is something that everybody needs to learn to do, and by the way, really enjoy doing it.
Encouragement is a fantastic tool, and it brings me to my next point, and we shouldn't be talking about this on the show, but we talk about whatever we want. I believe that there is an attack on the male figure in of itself
Oh yeah.
in this society. I don't pretend to understand why. We can go down rabbit holes all day on this one. I have some theories, but in your assessment, the idea of entrepreneurialism, a male figurehead, a central male figurehead, a strong male figurehead fathering, the old school model of what a man is, in my opinion, under a harsh attack right now. And I'm bringing this up, and I'm only going down this rabbit hole because it affects entrepreneurs like us. It affects small business owners. You can see it in the way the business policies that are being exacted by politics, et cetera. So what are you doing as an entrepreneur, as a small business owner, as a man, to sort of lock in who you are and what you're doing and sort of securing your future for your generation, for your children, for your family, all those things?
Man, great. Yeah, great point. Great question. So, no, I totally agree with you. Here's, and how do we, again, I feel like a broken record. Is masculinity under attack? You're darn right it is. And how do we know that's true? Here's some things. Okay, I'll be funny here for a second. You're never in the history of the world going to hear someone when they're older say, "Gee, I wish I didn't know how to play the piano." Right? "Gee, I wish I couldn't play the guitar." You're also never going to hear a woman or a daughter or a boy say, "Gee, I wish my husband didn't lead with such courage and conviction and kindness. Gee, I wish my dad wasn't so resilient and positive, and I wish he didn't lead so well. I wish my dad didn't tell me people like us do things like this. I wish my dad didn't tell me that, you know, we you know, these are the values that we're going to ascribe by." In fact, I have Team OSK shirts and hats made for my family. You know, gee, I wish my dad didn't have Team OSK or Team, you know, I'm not sure you pronounce your last name, Tyndall, you know, shirts made. There's not gonna, you know, unless you're just absolutely crazy, there's no wife in the world who's going to say, you know, "Gee, I wish my husband didn't lead so well." Guess what? You know what I hear? I hear just the opposite. I've got more women commenting and following on my posts on social media. I'm talking 5 to 1 because, and I get private messages all the time. "Hey, when are you starting Guardians of Grit? Because I've not launched yet. My husband needs this." I've got somebody that wants to edit my book, and she's already messaging me how she can't wait till we're done because her husband needs it. These guys don't have any idea who they are. They were never raised, right? Caused to rise. They have no idea why they get up in the morning. They're being influenced by, you know, 10 different talking idiot heads on the internet, and they're just holding up their finger whichever way the wind blows because they have no inner constitution that someone like me, I do things like this. And the proof's in the pudding or falling apart at the seams.
I have an interesting perspective on all of this right now because I'm a father. I have two daughters. I've raised them since they were babies.
Yeah.
I was divorced for 13 years, 14 years before I met my current partner. And she has two young boys, teenagers, and they've never had a father. And so and this is not a detriment to what she's done. She's an amazing mother, but she's a woman and raising two boys, and
Yeah.
it's a completely different dichotomy. Like
Oh.
a man raising children versus how a woman raises children, they're completely different things. And if anybody tells you otherwise, you're smoking crack. But I saw this Cherokee proverb the other day, and I'll go back to that in a second. But I saw this Cherokee proverb the other day, and it was something to the effect of a woman's highest calling is to lead a man to his soul, I think is what it said. so as to unite him with his source. And a man's highest calling is to protect women, so she is free to walk the earth unharmed. And I'm like, that is the coolest freaking thing I've ever read about that. And I always have these conversations with my wife about this. It's like, how I would raise your boys to prepare them to be men is completely different than how you have raised them and are raising them, because they need that masculinity just like men need the femininity. We need that balance, right? And again, yeah, like I was having this conversation with somebody, a woman, and she's like, so what you're saying is we just need like this testosterone. I'm like, bro, no, take a beat. That's not even close to what I said. I said we need balance. We need feminine, masculine balance on both sides.
And here's the funny thing. I mean, when you get down to the brass tacks of it, it's not, I mean, when people use the term toxic masculinity, how about replace that with jerk?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what are you kidding? There's nothing wrong with masculinity. In fact, masculinity is just absolutely wonderful and vital and virile. And most women are applauding right now, by the way. If somebody is not, I would just say, sorry, you must have had somebody in your life that hurt you that happened to call himself a man. There's a big difference between a dude, a guy, and a man.
But, and the universe in and of itself is a masculine, feminine, yin and yang. Like, I mean, that's at the core of what it is. So we're getting off topic, and you and I need to get offline and have some separate conversations, because there's a bunch of different things that we could digress on here. In terms of this grit and this platform, is there anything that we can do, I can do for you, whether it's branding help, marketing help? Is there anything that we can sort of, because I love your cause, I love your mission, and bro, I just love your vibe. So,
Thank you. Likewise, I've been really looking forward to this call, just because I've seen some videos with you online, and I'm like, man, he just seems like a cool cat. I don't know right now. I'm still kind of sussing out some of the details and what this looks like, and I want to make sure that I'm building a something that is sustainable. And I think my tendency is to get really deep and maybe burn out. And I want to make sure that I'm putting the assets and people and rhythms in place that, you know, can be sustainable for a long period of time. So I've got a pretty good team, but you know what? I might be reaching out, to get some pointers. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Please do. Let's stay in touch either way.
Yeah,
I'd like to learn more a little about your mastermind and share with you what we're doing over here, and see if there's any crossover and collaboration or whatnot. So anyhow, wow, this was a thoughtful conversation. Thank you, David. I did not expect it to go in the direction that it did, but we still learned a lot. We've talked about your product. And so people can find you. What's the best place to connect with you?
Of course you can go to my website. Actually, check out guardiansofgrit.com. You can go to davidoska.com. Or by the way, if you want to hear some really, really awesome music, you can go search on Spotify or Apple. What a Perfect Day is my last record, and David Ask. So there you go.
Son is plugging everything. He's got,
you got it, baby.
He's got the thermostat protector. He's got his music. He's got his mastermind. Dude, this has been a poster boy. And how do you post your products and get it on the brand marketing?
Hey, by the way, that's the kind of stuff I think about, though. Like, I mean, it's a weird thing. I've had to come to grips with the fact that I've got a wide skill set, and I enjoy a lot of things. And for so much of my life, I feel like I had to apologize for that. And now I'm realizing, no, that's exactly who I am. And I get to just live full out.
Well, the problem with having a lot of talents is that you end up doing a lot of different pursuits, and sometimes you just can't decide which one you want to follow best.
Right.
So, you kind of get just completely burdened with so many different things going on. So I feel you on that. I don't know if I'm as talented as you, but I like to take on a lot of different projects because I'm very curious about a lot of different things. So
I get it.
Well, anyhow, back to my close. David, thank you. Really enjoyed the conversation. It was a different direction than I anticipated, but I hope our listeners appreciated the depth of knowledge that you've dropped. If people want to find you, we'll put those show notes in there. If they want to buy your product, you're going to send me one of these?
I will. You send me your address and I'll ship one out to you.
Brilliant. But if people want to find your product, it's in Home Depot. It's where else are common stores?
Home Depot, Lowe's, and then we're still getting into the True Value stores. We're in their distribution center, but if you want to go special, order it at your True Value store. Just mention StatGuard Plus.
And StatGuard Plus, in terms of data, what kind of numbers are we looking at saving a family annually on the thermostat? Are there
HVAC? You know, so here's what's funny. My lawyer said you got to be really careful about promising or any kind of quantifiable numbers. But you can imagine, right? 2 degrees over the course of 30 days. in July, depending on where you are on the map, you're going to save some money.
Yeah, I don't know what that looks like, but I do know that every morning I
So,
wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and my kids have turned it down to like 67. And I'm like,
yeah.
how many times have I asked you not? I'm going to put a scorpion on this. If you touch this thing again, that's going to be my
Well,
static guard, a scorpion.
I love it. Well, in 2 degrees, by the way, over the course of a month, it's a lot more than $20. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, don't forget to subscribe to the show. I appreciate you listening today. I know there's a lot of different opportunities for podcasts. I think there's several million out there running around right now. None of them as good as this show. But if you do enjoy the conversation and you do want to connect with David, please do. It'll be in the show notes below. Leave us a review, connect with us on social media. And if you're looking to elevate your brand, please, here's my shameless plug, David, head
Do
over to
it.
thebrandstoryteller.com and learn more about how we can help you with your branding, your marketing, and enabling you to tell your story a little bit better than you currently are. Until next time, I am Devo, the brand storyteller. This is David Osk with Quorum Global LLC. Hey, man, we're grateful you joined us today. Appreciate your time and energy and spreading the word of like you're doing. It's pretty cool stuff. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Laboratory. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Connect with us on social media for more branding tips and insights. And remember, your story matters. Until next time, keep building and sharing your unique brand story. I'll see you soon.